Welcome to Sunday Talks from Center for Spiritual Living, Minneapolis. Each week, we share practical new thought wisdom to support spiritual growth, healing, and inspired living. Our theme this month is Higher, Deeper Love. This theme invites us to experience love as more than a feeling and to recognize it as the living presence of spirit moving within us, through us, and among us into the world. Today's talk is entitled, What's Love Got to Do With It? With Reverend Jeff Bird. Love has everything to do with how we heal our shared life. This talk invites us to look beyond the separation and division, to recognize our shared humanity, and to practice compassion, accountability, and oneness in community. And now, here's Reverend Jeff Bird. So, today our talk is about a very familiar question. What's love got to do with it? And I'm sure that you've got Tina Turner going through your mind right now. We probably all do a little bit, but we're not going down there because I don't think the lyrics really go along with the rest of it. They chose a bunch of songs that had love in the title, but maybe didn't go in another way. But we're going to ask that question in a deeper way today. What's love got to do with our shared life? With the places where humanity is hurting? With the history, the memory, the fear, bias, healing, accountability, and the way forward do we all share? The answer is simple, but it's not always easy. Love has everything to do with it. Love has everything to do with how we see each other, how we listen to each other, how we heal. Love helps us face pain without becoming bitter or hopeless. That's the higher, deeper love. That's the title of us, our monthly theme. It's not sentimental love, surface love, or the kind of love that says, let's just be nice and not talk about anything uncomfortable. This is the love that is strong enough to tell the truth and tender enough to keep the heart open. Let me begin with something simple. Most of us have had this experience. You're sitting at a family table, church potluck, meeting at work, and all of a sudden somebody says something that makes the whole room tighten. We've all been there. A joke that doesn't feel like a joke, or maybe it's a statement that carries some judgment or something not openly cruel, yet shaped by an old way of seeing things. So in that moment, there are choices. One choice is to ignore it and pretend like you didn't hear it. The other one is to react clearly and quickly and simply and sharply, which may be honest, but it may not open the door to healing. Another choice is to pause and ask, what would love do here? Not the kind of love that avoids discomfort, not the kind of love that shames someone, not the kind of love that needs to win, but the kind of love that is grounded, clear, and awake. Love might say, I know you may not have meant harm, but it landed in a painful way. You may ask, can we talk about that a little bit more? Sometimes it says nothing in that exact moment, but later speaks privately with care. Other time, it simply helps us notice what got us stirred up, so we can do our inner work to take a look at that. The point is this, love is not passive, it's active. It's alive, it's aware, and present when God is moving through human hearts, words, choices, and relationships. Then we ask, what's love got to do with it? But what we're really asking is, what would it look if the divine expressed itself through me right now? You know, our June theme is higher, deeper love, as we just mentioned. And in week one, we explored love at the inner individual level. We looked at our own inner life, our own relationship with love, and our own willingness to receive and embody love. And then in week two, we moved to outer love, the outer individual. We explained how love becomes real in our personal relationships, in how we show up, how we listen, how we forgive, how we practice kindness, and how we bring love to everyday encounters. And today we're moving to the inner collective, and that's a much bigger space. The inner collective is not just my private inner life or your private inner life. It is the shared inner field that we all live in. It includes our common humanity, our inherited wisdom, our childhood stories, our absorbed fears, our wounds passed down through families, communities, cultures, and generations. It also holds our resilience, our beauty, our creativity, our longing to belong, our longing to heal, and our longing to be seen and valued. This is where the work of love gets very real. Higher, deeper love asks us to look beyond the surface, beyond us and them, beyond the labels we place on people, beyond the differences, we can recognize that there is a unity of the whole. Holmes wrote, "If we would look for a God of love, we must look long and deeply into each other. We must look away from the differences until we penetrate the unity of the whole." And that's really not always easy, especially in today's world, but it is powerful. To look long and deeply into each other does not mean we ignore differences. It means the differences are not the final truth. It means the deepest truth is oneness, and oneness runs through all these New Thought teachings. It means underneath all the names, faces, histories, cultures, personalities, and opinions, there is one life. That one life is God. That one life is spirit. That one life is expressing through all. And if that is true, then love is not optional. Love is not a side dish in spiritual life. It is the main course. So here's the main idea for today. Love is the spiritual power that helps us face our shared wounds, see our shared humanity, and choose a more compassionate way forward. It doesn't mean we deny pain, excuse harm, or avoid accountability. Love means we remember who we are while we are doing the healing work. It means we tell the truth without forgetting the divine presence in ourselves and in others. The first teaching point is this. Love helps us to share our humanity. That sounds simple, but it may be one of the most important spiritual practices we have. We live in a world that constantly tempts us to reduce people to a label, a political opinion, a mistake, or an outward identity such as age, race, religion, income, education, gender, neighborhood, or nationality. The moment we reduce something to people like that, we really stop seeing them. Love invites us to see more. It reminds us this person is more than one opinion, one move, one moment, one identity, or one mistake. This person has a story. That does not mean every story is healthy or every behavior is acceptable or that there are no boundaries. It means that we remember that each person carries both visible and invisible history. Some people carry grief we know nothing about. Some carry fear that they cannot name, family wounds that go back generations, or beliefs they did not consciously choose. They absorbed them. They inherited them. They were taught them before they even had the tools to question them. And some of those are us. Think of an iceberg. What we see in the water is behavior, words, tone, opinions, and reactions. But under the water, there's quite a bit more. There may be fear, there may be trauma, loneliness, shame, confusion, family conditioning, cultural messages, or unhealed pain. Love does not ignore the topic of the top of the iceberg, but it knows there's more beneath the surface. And this is important when we talk about unconscious bias. Unconscious bias simply means there are assumptions operating in us that we may not even realize are there. It does not mean we are bad people. It means we are human beings who have been shaped by the world around us. We have been shaped by family systems, school systems, media, religion, neighborhoods, history, and cultures. Sometimes we learn fear when we should have learned curiosity. Sometimes we learn judgment where we could have learned understanding. And sometimes we learn separation where we could have found oneness. The spiritual question is not, do I have any bias? The better question is, am I aware, am I willing to be aware of what's operating within me? Because awareness is not the doorway to healing. I love Dennis Merritt Jones in his book. He quotes De Maul with saying, awareness, awareness, awareness. And that is such a core piece of it. It helps us with our consciousness. Science of mind teaches that consciousness matters. We believe, assume, and expect and embody that we have creative power. So if there are unconscious beliefs in us that keep separation alive, love invites us to bring them into the light, not with shame, not with self-hatred, not with defensiveness, but with spiritual honesty. We can say, Spirit, show me what I have not yet seen. Show me where I have closed my heart. Show me where I have mistaken difference for danger. Show me where I can grow in love. And that's not weakness, that's spiritual maturity. The second teaching point is this. Love gives us the courage to face what needs healing. There's a kind of spirituality that wants to jump too quickly to all is well. All the, at the deepest spiritual level, we may affirm that God is whole. Life is whole. Truth is whole. And the ultimate nature of reality is good. I believe that. But spiritual truth is not meant to become spiritual bypass. Spiritual bypass is when we use spiritual ideas to avoid human pain. Sometimes it says, I am hurting. And we say, well, just know the truth. Someone says something harmful happened. And we say, everything happens for a reason. Someone says the system is not fair. And we say, yeah, just keep positive. That is not deeper, higher love. There's a difference between saying everything is fine and saying the presence of God is here, even in this, and healing is possible. You know, that's a big difference. Love doesn't ask us to pretend the wound is not there. Love says, let's clean the wound so healing can happen. Any of us who have ever had a physical wound know this. If we don't clean the wound before we put a bandage on it, it's not going to heal. You know, the same is true in our shared life. There are wounds in families, communities, cultures, and in history. Some wounds came from violence, exclusion, poverty, discrimination, religious harm, or from people being told that they were less than not enough, not welcome, or not fully human. That does not have to become political or divisive. It becomes spiritual when we root it in oneness. Oneness means your pain is not separate from my life. Another person's dignity is not connected to my dignity. It is connected to my dignity. The healing of the whole includes the healing of all its parts. Bell Hooks wrote a lovely ethic, a way of living where love becomes a foundation for how we speak, act, relate, and build community. She had a lovely ethic. Her lovely ethic recognized that everyone has a right to be free and to live fully and to live well. That's the spiritual idea. In our language, we might say every person has a right to express the divine life within them. Every person has the right to know themselves as a beloved expression of spirit. Every person has the right to belong to the one life. And when our shared life does not reflect the truth, love calls us to bring it back into expression. Not through anger alone, not through blame alone, not through shame, but through awakened consciousness, honest compassion, and courageous action. Love and accountability belong together. Sometimes people hear accountability and think punishment. But accountability at its best means we are able to respond. We are response able. We are able to say, I see what happened, I see my part, and I know what needs to change, and I am willing to participate in the healing. You know, that's love in action. In our own lives, this can be very simple. We may notice that we interrupt certain people more than others, make assumptions based on how someone looks, speaks, dresses, or votes. Get defensive when somebody's names are hurt or avoid a conversation that makes us uncomfortable. Love does not condemn us for noticing these things. It celebrates the noticing because now healing can be aware. Aware is not the end of the journey, but it's the sacred beginning. Third teaching point is this. Love reveals our interdependence. Interdependence means our lives are connected, not in a vague, pretty way, but in a real way. The food we eat was grown, transported, stocked, sold, and often prepared by others. Our roads were built by others. Our electricity is maintained by others. Our wisdom was taught by others. Our prayers were often prayed by others, and our courage today may be rooted in the strength of the people who came before us. The individual is important, yes, but the individual is always living within a whole. Science of mind teaches us that there is one universal mind, one infinite presence, and one life expressing through all. This means we're not isolated little islands floating around trying to survive. We are expressions of the one divine life. And what happens in part happens to the whole. Think about the body. If your foot hurts, your whole body adjusts. You might limp, your back might tighten, your shoulders might shift, and your mood may change. The rest of the body cannot honestly say, well, that's the foot's problem. It doesn't work quite like that. When one person forgives and listens deeply, chooses compassion over contempt, or looks at another and sees God, the field changes. That's why our spiritual practice matters. Your prayer matters. Your consciousness matters. Your willingness to heal matters. Your words, your listening, and your choice to bless instead of curse, all that matters. We sometimes think collective healing is too big. We think, what can I do? You know, I'm just one person. But every collective is made up of individuals. Every conversation, prayer, act of kindness, and refusal to dehumanize someone participates in the healing. Dr. Martin Luther King wrote, "What about bringing together the head and the heart, intelligence and goodness?" That is what love asks of all of us. It's not mindless or weak. It carries intelligent, backbone, moral clarity, tenderness, and spiritual power. It helps us think clearly and deeply at the same time. So where does this show up in daily life? It shows up when we are watching the news. Something happens in the world, a conflict, a tragedy, a court decision, a social issue, or a painful event. We feel ourselves tighten. The old pattern might be to react, rant, blame, or shut down. Higher, deeper love invites a different response. We can pause and say, Spirit, help me see this through the eyes of love. Help me know what is mine to do. Help me not add more hate to the field. And it shows up in conversations. Someone says something we disagree with. You know, our body reacts. Our mind starts preparing a speech. Little love invites us to listen a little bit longer, not because we agree, but because listening is the one way we honor the humanity of that person in front of us. We might say, tell me more about why you see it that way. Or, I see that differently, but I want to understand what matters to you. It shows up in church community. Spiritual community is a beautiful place, but it's also a human place. People have different backgrounds, different sensitivities, different assumptions, and different needs. Love helps build a community where people do not have to be identical in order to belong. Love helps us create room for honest conversation, repair, forgiveness, and more. We might carry inherited shame or old fear or messages that say, people like me do not matter, or people like them can't be trusted. Life asks us to examine those inner messages and ask, is that really truth? Or is that fear dressed as certainty? Then we can choose again. So right now, let's just take a sacred pause together. I invite you, if you feel comfortable, to soften your gaze, close your eyes if you wish, and take a breath. And then take another breath. Let the body settle. Your shoulders soften. In your heart, give it a little room. Now bring to mind a person, group, situation, or issue that's been hard for you to hold in love. You don't have to force anything here. Just let it be present. Notice what happens in your body. There might be tightness, judgment, sadness, fear, or something else. No shame, just awareness. Now inwardly say, love is present here. And again, love is present here. Now quietly ask within, Spirit, what would love have me see, release, and do? Now take one more breath and silently bless yourself for being willing. Silently bless the person or the situation. Not because everything's okay, but because healing is possible. And when you're ready, return your awareness to this room where we all are. So that's a simple practice, but it's powerful. We do not heal the collective by becoming overwhelmed by the collective. We heal by bringing conscious compassion and love to the place right in front of us. So what's mine to do this week? Well, that's an important question because a talk like this can feel pretty big. Shared humanity, collective trauma, unconscious bias, accountability, and interdependence are big ideas. But spiritual practice always brings us back to what we can do now. This week, when you feel judgment rise, pause before you feed it. Ask what else might be true here. That one question can open a doorway. This week, when you hear a story about a group of people, resist the urge to flatten them into one idea. Remember, every group is made up of human beings, faces, families, dreams, griefs, and gifts. this week, do not try to win every argument or prove a point, but to understand more deeply. This week, practice a silent blessing when you see division. When the news is painful, bless. When the conversation is tense, bless. When you feel helpless, bless. A blessing is not nothing. A blessing is a consciousness directed toward healing. This week, notice one place where love may be asking you for accountability. It might be an apology, a changed habit, a more honest conversation, a willingness to listen without defending, or a willingness to grow. Finally, look at the faces around you and silently affirm, love is in the faces in the life around me. Cashier, the neighbor, the person in traffic, the family member who pushes your buttons, the person whose story you do not understand, the person whose pain you have not considered. Love is the faces in life all around me. This is our affirmation, and that is a spiritual practice. So what's love got to do with it? Everything. Love has everything to do with how we remember who we are, how we heal what has been wounded, how we face truth without losing hope, how we build spiritual community, and how we participate in the healing of humanity. Holmes said, love alone can heal the world and cause people to live together in unity and in peace. That's a bold statement. He wasn't talking about weak love or greeting card love. He was talking about divine love moving through consciousness, word, choice, action, relationship, and community. This is love that reveals, disarms hate, tells the truth, restores dignity, and sees God everywhere, even when our human behavior needs healing. That's higher, deeper love. That love begins within us, but it does not stop there. It moves through us. It becomes how we speak, listen, and spend our attention, use our energy, repair harm, and bless the world. You know, we don't have to heal everything by ourselves, but we are invited to be a healing presence where we are. We are invited to be a place where love becomes visible and to be people who look beyond difference into the unity of the whole. So Rumi reminds us the wound is the place where the light enters you. Maybe that is true for us collectively too. The wounds we are willing to face with love can become places where more light enters humanity. Not because the wound was good, but because love is greater. Love is deeper, higher, stronger than separation. It is our origin, our path, and our way forward. So this week, let's ask the question again, what's love got to do with it? And the answer is everything. Now I invite you just to settle into your chair one more time for a couple minutes, take a breath, let everything just kind of that we just talked about just kind of sit there. And we know that there is one life, one presence, and one infinite love at the center of all that is. This love is not distant. It's not partial. It is not reserved for a few. It is the living presence of spirit moving through all people, all creation, and all of life. This one life is whole. This one love is wise. This one spirit is a source of compassion, courage, healing, and of course, peace. I know that this one life is my life now, is the life of each person here, is the life of every neighbor, every stranger, every community, every nation, and every face in the human family. Beneath all difference, there's one divine reality. Beneath all fear, there is love calling us home. And beneath all wounds, there is a deeper wholeness-seeking expression. So I speak this word for all of us. I affirm that we are willing to see with new eyes, look beyond labels, and remember the sacred worth of every person. We become aware of the beliefs, fears, and assumptions that keep separation alive. We do this without shame or denial, with courage, humanity, and love. I affirm that healing is happening in and through us. Old wounds are met with compassion. Hard truths are met with spiritual strength. Conversations become more honest and more kind. Communities become more open and whole. Each of us becomes a place where the divine love can be known, felt, and expressed. I affirm that love is active in our shared lives. It guides our words, softens our hearts, strengthens our actions, and teaches accountability without cruelty, compassion without weakness, and unity with sameness. I give thanks for this higher, deeper love. I give thanks it is already present, already moving, already healing, already revealing the unity of the whole. And so with gratitude, I release these words into the law of mind, knowing that it is already acted upon, and so it is. Thank you.